let's get started. Tonight's topic is going to be about davening in languages other than Lashon HaKodesh. Tonight, you may notice the marmakomos are a little different. It's not a traditional packet of marmakomos. I do have a packet of marmakomos, but it's like 13 pages long, and I started a project at the very end of the summer that I started, stopped, started again, stopped again, and just started again today of writing up some of my 10-minute halacha shiurim in a more expansive form in Hebrew. And I decided to give out the write-up of this this topic, you know, instead, because the way I wrote them up is that when I quoted sources, I quoted verbatim. So we'll be able to see a lot of the sources inside. And I figure this has the additional benefit. This is a very rough draft. I just wrote this afternoon. Have not even read over yet. So there are probably tons and tons of typos and lots of things that are unclear. But I figure it has the additional advantage of having all of these editors to help me out in case you find issues to be fixed. That would be a great help. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these write-ups, but you know, we do have these write-ups. So the topic for tonight is if a person is, for whatever reason, wants to daven in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh, is there any problem with doing so? I know in DRS for many years, Rabbi Kamenetsky has been trying to inspire better davening, and that's one of the big avodos that any high school mechanech, and the truth is, shul rabbi, and at any stage in life, any mechanech has, is to try to inspire people to daven, to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to appreciate what tefillah is. So one of the things Rabbi Kamenetsky often says is that if you don't understand all the words, the first thing you need to do is take little by little and try to understand, you know, try to learn the Siddur little by little, so that ultimately, over the course of time, you'll know what all of the words mean. Another thing he often recommends is buy a Siddur with translation. He thought that the newer translated Siddurim that have the translation mamish right underneath the word are extremely helpful, because very often you do know what the paragraph means, but there's like that one word that you weren't never really sure about, and then you have the translation right there. It's much easier when you're davening. But a third thing that he often recommends is to add in your own bakashos in English in the middle of your Shmona Esrei. So that got me thinking, are you allowed to do that, to add in your own bakashos in English in the middle of your Shmona Esrei? I mean, certainly to daven everything the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said to daven, to say all the words that it says in the Siddur, but to perhaps make it more meaningful, to add in whatever bakashos a person may have in Shema Kolenu, in their Shmona Esrei. So is one allowed to actually speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Well, certainly just stop speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam, yeah, but to daven, to be yotze the mitzvah of tefillah with Shar Lashonos. So the truth is that there are two sugyas and shas that seem to give us opposite implications. Sugya number one is the Gemara Masecha Shabbos and Daf Yud Beis and Beis, where the Gemara says La'olam al yishal adam tzrachav b'lashon arami, that a person should never ever ask for his needs in Lashon Arami. And presumably Lashon Arami means not just Lashon Arami, but Lashon Arami in any other language. It just happens to be if you speak Lashon Arami, so we'll tell you not to ask Lashon Arami. But if that Gemara were not written in Bavel, but were written in 21st century America, it would say don't al yishal tzrachav b'lashon anglit. Don't ask in English. But it says Lashon Arami because that's the Lashon HaMedubar. V'am Rabbi Yochanan kol hashol tzrachav b'lashon Arami. Ein malach yasharis niskaken lo. Lefi she'ein malach yasharis makirin b'lashon aramis. If you do daven in Lashon Arami, the malach yasharis are not going to pay any attention, because malach yasharis do not recognize Lashon Aramis. And you need, the pretext over here is that, or the subtext rather, is that you need the malachim for some reason in your tefillah. So because you need the malachim, your tefillah can't work on your own. You need the malachim to help in your tefillah, and they're not going to help when you do it b'lashon arami, so don't daven b'lashon arami because it's useless. It's a worthless tefillah. If that's the case, it sounds like one who does daven b'lashon arami has got to daven again because it's a worthless tefillah. It didn't work at all. On the other hand, there is a Mishnah Masechta Sota and Daflam Beis Amud Aleph where the Mishnah goes through all of those things that could be said b'chol lashon and all of those things that have to dafka be said b'lashon HaKodesh. So, for example, what has to be said b'lashon HaKodesh? Mikra Bikurim, the Parsha of Chalitza, Brachos and Klalos, Birchos Kohanim, Parshas HaMelech, etc. Many, many things. The Mishnah gives a list of 8 things that have to be said b'lashon HaKodesh, but it gives a list of 7 things that could be said b'chalashon. And on the list of things that could be said b'chalashon, Elu Ne'amar b'chalashon, Parsha Sota, that's why it appears in the Masech Sota, Vidoy Meiser, Kriya Shema, Utfila. So apparently Tfila's on the list of things that could be said b'chalashon. So the question the Rishonim grapple with is, how does that jive with Shabbos Daf Yud Beis? On the one hand, Shabbos Daf Yud Beis, you cannot daven b'lashon Aramis. On the other hand, here in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Beis, yeah, sure you can. You could say Tefillah b'chal lashon in any language. It, you know, even if you want to read Shabbos Daf Yud Beis as, oh, just don't do lashon Aramis, but do any other language is okay. So the problem with saying something like that is you would need to explain why lashon Aramis would be worse than, let's say, English or French or any other language. And you would need to explain the expression the Mishnah has, Ilin Emarin B'chal Lashon. It doesn't say B'chal Lashon Chutz. There's no exception in the Mishnah. It just says, any language is good for tefillah. You're allowed to daven in whatever language. So the Beis Yosef in Simon Kof Aleph quotes 3 ways to resolve this stira between the two Gemaras. Resolution number 1 is Os Aleph on page 1 over here. Kasav HaRif Brachos Dav Zayin Alav B'dap HaRif V'zal Lashon. Here's what the Rif writes. Hadiktani tefillah b'chal lashon, hani mili b'tzibur. So over here you can't correct me because this is a direct quote from the Rif. This is not my grammar. My brother told me that, and when you're writing, because I told him I'm interested in writing, maybe putting together enough for a sefer one day, he said, if you get someone to edit your svarim, just be careful. A lot of these guys that work as editors will like edit the lashon of the Rambam. Like you don't want him to edit the Rambam. You know, keep him editing whatever you write. So this is not to be edited. Hadik tani tefillah b'kal lashon, hani mili b'tzibur. That's only b'tzibur that you could daven in whatever lashon you want. Avol b'yachad lo. But you're not when you daven b'yichidus, you can't daven b'kal lashon. Why? Damriv dam rav lo mal yishadom tzrachav b'lashon arami. A person's not allowed to be shovel tzrachav b'lashon arami. So where does he get the idea that Dakamar is dafka talking b'yachid? Well, it's written b'lashon yachid, right? Al yishal adam tzrachav, a man his tzrachim. It's not ein mispalilin b'lashon arami, a more vague generic term. It's al yishal adam tzrachav b'lashon arami. So what do you see? The Rif is mechalek between a tzibur and a yachid. That if you're davening b'tzibur, then sure, you could daven whatever language you want. It's only when you're davening b'yachidus that you can't. What's the svara to be mechalek, though? I mean, I understand that Eluna emarin b'kal lashon sounds like a more general statement, whereas al yish al adam tzrachav b'lashon rami sounds about that we're talking about an individual. But why? Why would it be okay for a tzibur to daven in English, but not okay for an individual to daven in English? That the Rif doesn't explain.
By Gemara in Shabbos, they always said by b'kacholim you could say b'lashon rami, right? Because it's shechina malame b'chalos.
Yeah.
It's similar as far as by tzibur.
So, meaning, and not you don't even need to talk about Bikur Cholim, just very simply, the Gemara gives the Svara why you're not allowed to speak, why you're not allowed to daven B'lashon Rami, because you need the Malachi Asharis. What do you need the Malachi Asharis for? Because they're your ticket to the Ribbono Shlom. They're your ticket to the Shechina. Meaning, for some reason, the Malachi Asharis play a role in bringing our Tfilos to the Ribbono Shlom. So, if you have a direct audience with the Ribbono Shlom, you don't need the Malachi Asharis. So, they don't understand Lashon Arami or any other language. Fine, no problem. It happens to be Tosfos over there in Shabbos raises the question, what do you mean the Malachi Asharis don't understand other languages? Afilu machshavos shebelevish hem yodim, he says. They even know the machshavos that are in a person's heart. And what is language? Language is an expression of, it's a way to express thoughts. But if they know your thoughts before you even formulate them into words, so then what do you mean they don't get the language? They know before, pre-language stage, they already got it as thoughts. So that caused a whole discussion in the Achronim. Do they know thoughts? Who says they know thoughts? How do we know that Malachim know thoughts? That's an assumption that we're making, that Malachim know thoughts. But be that as it may, the Malachim, for whatever reason, don't understand Ein Makirim or Ein Niskakin is a different kirs in the Gemara. They don't connect to Lashon Arami or, let's assume, any other language either. And therefore, whenever you have a direct audience with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're okay. You don't need them. When do you have a direct audience with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Whenever there is a heightened sense of Hashras HaShechina. So, for example, you have the possibility of a heightened sense of Gedalia is saying of Hashras HaShechina by Bikur Cholim, because the Shechina is the Malam Erashos of Shel Chola. The Shechina is considered to be there on top of the head of the Chola. And that's why. Possibly another reason why it's worthwhile, if you're davening for a chola, to actually go visit the chola. One of the inyanim of Bikur Cholim is not just to make the chola feel better. What if you have a chola who you're not going to make feel better? There's nothing you could do for the person, and he's not conscious, let's say. Is there any maila whatsoever in going to visit? Well, you're missing some maila of him knowing you're there and giving him encouragement and things like that, but you have an additional maila that you're able to daven for him. And that means two things. First of all, you're able to daven for him because you see firsthand what he's going through. And eino doma shmiya l'ri'iya. You hear about someone that's going through something. It's not the same as seeing firsthand. You see in a hospital bed, you see where a chola is, and it will inspire greater tefillah. But maybe on a different level, the tefillah that's offered there, right by the chola, is in the presence of the shechina. It's the difference between davening b'yichidus and davening b'tzibur. Davening b'tzibur is a heightened level of tefillah. It's a hidur in the way to do tefillah. So davening near a chola is also a hidur in the way to do a proper tefillah. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim. I think the Gemara says that a person is not supposed to visit a chola in the first few hours of the day or the last few hours of the day. Because in the first few hours of the day, he just slept through the night, so he's going to feel very strong. So you're going to look at him and you're going to say, he doesn't need my tefillah so much, he seems pretty okay. In the last few hours of the day, he's already going to be worn down from the whole day, and he's going to look so weak that you're going to say, it doesn't help. Well, why am I going to daven? He's a lost cause. It's a waste of time to daven. So better to visit sometime in between, where you get a more accurate picture of what his matzav is, exactly. But the whole premise of that discussion is that the purpose of being mevaker chol is to pray for him, is to be able to daven for the person. So that might be the svara of the Rith, that when you're dealing directly with it, when you're davening in a tzibur, so you get a direct audience with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have a sense of Hashras HaShechina, you don't need the malachim. But when you're davening b'yichidus, you don't have the Hashras HaShechina, so you do need the malachim. Says Rav Menashe Klein in his Tshuvas Mishnah Halachos Chelek Gimel Sim Pei Gimel that he thinks the Rambam holds like the Rith. How does he know the Rambam holds like the Rith? Does the Rambam say anywhere that there's a difference between Yachid and Tzibur? No. The Rambam, in fact, doesn't even mention this din that you're allowed to daven b'kol lashon. Doesn't mention anywhere. So, you're going to say, you know why the Rambam doesn't mention that you're allowed to daven b'kol lashon? Maybe the Rambam is concerned you're not going to be a good translator. You're not going to have a good translation of the tefillah. You're not going to say it properly. Then why does the Rambam, quote the din that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema b'kol lashon? What, you won't know how to translate tefillah, but you'll know how to translate Kriya Shema? Unlikely, says Rav Menashe Klein. There must be something else going on in this Rambam, why the Rambam leaves out the din that you're allowed to daven b'kol lashon. So he suggests that the Rambam sort of does mention this din, because the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Tefillah Halacha Dalit describes a little bit of the history of standard text of tefillah, like how we got to this point where we have a standard text. You know, it's one of the things that very often kids who are struggling with tefillah, one of the chief complaints is, why do I have to say the words that someone else wrote for me? Can't I daven to Hashem in the way I want to talk to Hashem and what's on my mind? So there are a lot of answers to that question, but the Rambam goes through part of the history of it. And the Rambam writes, this is in middle of the last paragraph on the first page, that about five lines into the paragraph, the Zelashon, Kivan Shagalu Yisrael B'yimei Nevuchadnezzar Rasha Nisarvu B'paras V'yavan V'sharo Umos, that Klal Yisrael got mixed in with all these other nations, with the Greeks and the Persians, V'noldu Lehem Banim Ba'aretzos Hagayim V'osna Banim Nisbalbulu Svasam. Could you believe it, that there were Jewish children being raised that didn't know how to speak fluent Hebrew? That happened. It happened once in history that such a thing happened. Unbelievable. And everyone had their language mixed in with other language. So there were so many corruptions in the language. That it wasn't that people were davening in another language or in Hebrew. They were davening with some sort of mixture. V'kimon sh'ra'a Ezra u'beiz din kach, amdu v'tiknu lem sh'mon esrei brachas al seder. So Ezra and his beis said, the tefillah sounded awful. They sounded terrible. You go to speak to an important person, lahavdil. So you have a prepared speech, you practice it in advance, you know you're going to try to sound as dignified as possible, as clear as possible, and you go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you sound like a moron, you're saying all sorts of different things from different languages. So that's what they set up a standard text of the tefillah, k'deshu aruchos b'fi hakol, so that we'll become fluent in it, and we'll be prepared. V'yilamdu osan, v'tiyat tefillas elu ha'alagam tefillas shlema, k'tefillas balei lashon atzacha. That the idea was that we should be able to know how to daven, we should have a clear direction in our tefillah, and have and be amply prepared for our tefillah. So how does this answer our question why the Rambam leaves out the idea that you're allowed to daven in any language? So it says Rav Menashe Klein, if you look carefully, the Rambam writes, Kishaya echad mehen mispalam. Why would he say kishaya echad mehen mispalal? Why not say umipneze kishahayu mispalalim? When they davened, why? When one of them would daven, and also he says kishahayu mispal tekatzel l'shono lishol chafatzav alahagid shavach kodesh baruch hu b'lashon kodesh. They would try to pray in lashon kodesh. Why would they try in lashon kodesh? The Mishnah says you're allowed to daven b'kol lashon. So why does he say that they would dafka try to pray b'lashon hakodesh? So he says, it must be that what was the concern? That the Rambam was addressing, the Rambam is describing that the concern was only for Yechidim. That for a tzibur there was never a problem. Because the tzibur could daven in their language. They wouldn't even try lashon hakodesh. Why should they try lashon hakodesh? The tzibur could do whatever language they want. But a yachid was not allowed to daven in whatever language he wanted. He had to try Lashon HaKodesh. So you have all these kids who grew up in foreign countries who don't know Hebrew all that well, trying to formulate their tefillos in Hebrew whenever they can't catch a minyan, whenever they can't daven with a minyan, and if they're trying to formulate their tefillos in Hebrew, they're all messed up because they don't know Hebrew that well. And that's what motivated the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to get together and make a standard lashon of tefillah. So he says, based on the diuk of the Rambam, you see that the Rambam does hold this distinction between yachid and tzibur. That's what was behind the whole takana. Elamai, once they were misakin a specific text of tefillah, so then we had to stick to that specific text. That was even b'tzibur. We stick to that specific text of tefillah. Or you could say that, no, the Rambam's pointing out to you that b'tzibur, you don't have to stick to it. And that's why he's describing the history only in terms of a yachid. But he doesn't have to say anywhere else that b'tzibur, you're allowed to daven b'chal lashon. So maybe the Rambam holds like the Rif. Bottom line is, we have one answer so far. We had a stira, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis, that you cannot daven b'lashon arami, and we have the Mishnah Maseches Sota, tefillah could be b'kol lashon. Answer number one is the Rif. It depends whether you're davening b'tzibur or you're davening b'yachid. The Rabbeinu Yonah points out that we're well aware of the shita of the Rif, that b'yachid you have to daven b'lashon hakodesh. And he says, but I don't understand. What about women? Women typically do not daven with a minyan. They do daven, but they typically do not daven with a minyan. And apparently, in times when women were not particularly educated, and they probably didn't know how to read Hebrew, they typically would daven b'shar l'shonos. So if the halacha is that every time a yachid is davening, a yachid is not allowed to daven b'shar l'shonos, why are women allowed to daven at all? They only daven b'shar l'shonos, and they only daven b'yachidus. So Rabbeinu Yonah puts a little twist on it. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that it's not about tzibur versus yachid. It's about tefillah kavua versus your own tefillah. The Gemara in Shabbos says that al yishal adam tzrachav, a person shouldn't ask for his own needs, meaning when it's a highly personalized tefillah. you know, a tefillah that, you know, I'm going to daven that my shir in yeshiva should go well. So that doesn't make sense if you're a doctor or a lawyer that your shir in yeshiva should go. That's my own personal tefillah. Rabbi Kamenetsky in DRS has a tefillah every day before he walks into the classroom. He stops for 10 seconds to daven that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him inspire the Talmidim. So some people, like, you know, believe in God, you know, and like talk to him. So to have a tefillah that's your own individual tefillah. It's not the tefillah that the people say, that the tzibur says. So that has to be Lashon HaKodesh. But if you're going to say the standard text, you're going to say the text that everybody says, you're going to say the Shmona Esrei, so then you could say the Shmona Esrei in translation as well. So the difference between is not between Yachad and Tzibur. The difference is between formulating your own tefillah versus using the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Question is, what's the Svara? It's counterintuitive, right? You would think that your own tefillah, you would think you have much more leeway. It's yours, so say it however you want it. Whereas Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they said, these are the words, you got to say these words. But we're saying the opposite, that whenever you're saying the tefillah of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, so that you could say in whatever language you want. So he writes, the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and this is in the middle of the paragraph labeled Beis on page 2, that tam shetzorchi tzibur sholim b'kal lashon, mashen kin b'tzorchi yachid, mei shat tzibur einim tzrichim melitz lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aval hayachid tzorchi lav. Meaning he says the same svara, that the tzibur doesn't need a melitz, it doesn't need an intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning when you are saying Shmon Esrei, it's never really your own Shmon Esrei. You're always being mitzvahed for the tzibur because you're saying the same tefillah that the whole tzibur is having. You're not asking for your own needs. Ever notice in Shmona Esrei, Rifa'enu? Rifa'eni? What do Rifa'enu? Why am I asking for... No, but you're not asking for you. You're asking for everybody. So by definition, you're asking for tzarchei tzibur. When you're asking for tzarchei tzibur, even if you're davening all alone, that grants you a ticket directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you're not going to need the malachim. So unlike the Rif who said that it's about the context within which you're davening, that it's about, are you with a tzibur where there is automatically Ashras HaShechina, Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, it's not about the context. It's about the content of your tefillah. If the content of your tefillah is about Klal Yisrael, so that could be B'kal Lashon, because that goes straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't need the Malachi Ashares. But if the content of your tefillah is your own personal request, so that you have to be makbid to be Lashon HaKodesh, because that you're going to need malachim to help you out with. That is approach number two. A third approach. The Rush in the second paragraph of Brachos, Simon Beis writes, and this is the paragraph labeled Gimel, V'lin yira de'eno kasha, didafka b'lashon zeh kam rav yudu d'l'ishol adem tzracha, v'chenek shu b'tosvos, hazikam r'shem malachi yashar makirim b'lashon aramis, v'la afil makshavos lev adem yodim makirim. He says, I don't get it. Malachi Asharis, one, you know, we're asking a steer between two Gemaras. Normally, ask a steer between two Gemaras. Both Gemaras independently make sense, but they contradict each other, so you have a kasha. Says the Rosh, over here, one of these Gemaras makes absolutely no sense. One of them is very logical, okay, daven, whatever language you want, that makes sense. And the other one doesn't say don't daven whatever language you want, it says don't say Lashon Aramis because Malachi Asharis don't understand Lashon Aramis. That sounds crazy. They even know your machshavos. What do you mean they don't understand Lashon Aramis? So he says, until we get pshat in that Gemara, you can't ask the stira. So he says, you know what pshat in that Gemara is? Ela lashon ze meguna be'enehem li'zakeklo. That Gemara does not mean they don't understand Lashon Aramis. Of course they understand Lashon Aramis. They could read your thoughts. It means they don't like it. It's a big turnoff, Lashon Aramis. It's a lashon meguna to them. And therefore, it's specifically Lashon Aramis, that's a Lashon Meguna. Others explain the reason is that it's a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh. You have a language that is not meant to sound like Lashon HaKodesh at all, so then it's fine. They're not turned off by that. They're not disgusted by that. But you take Lashon HaKodesh and you corrupt it, you know, sort of like the way I write Hebrew, as you see. If you take Lashon HaKodesh and you corrupt it, so that's Meguna. So you see, so based on that, there's not a stira at all. You're allowed to daven in whatever language you want. Just stay away from Aramis. So yachid, tzibur, anything. So how do we pass in the Shulchan Aruch? Well, before we get to that, the Mishra Brura in Sivkat Nietes quotes from the Prima Gadin that according to the Rush, whenever you don't need malachim, you're allowed to daven b'lashon. You normally are allowed to, you're always allowed to daven every other language. Lashon Arami would be allowed if you don't need malachim, right? Meaning the Gemara in Shabbos is still saying you can't daven Lashon Arami unless you don't need malachim. If you don't need malachim, then you could daven Lashon Arami. So he says, the Rush would also admit that Betzibur, you're allowed to daven Lashon Arami. Why would he admit Betzibur? Because you don't need malachim. Meaning the Rush would admit to the Riv that that's also true. He's just saying that on top of that, you're allowed to daven in every other language as well. But whenever you don't need malachim, like when you're Betzibur, you're allowed to daven Lashon Arami. And he says, and that's why we say you can perk on a Bruch Shmei. Because you can perk on a Bruch Shmei, you always say Betzibur. But if you were davening B'yechidus, you wouldn't say you can perk on or a Bruch Shmei. Because you don't daven B'lashon Arami B'yechidus. That's the Chiddush Ledina that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But you can't say those paragraphs. There's a question about Bruch Shmei anyway. I think Rav Shechter says that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told him that Rav Soloveitchik didn't like to say Bruch Shmei. Let me get the nusach over here. That he didn't like to say Bruch Shmei because he objected to one of the lines. In the Bruch Shmei we say that. Let me just find it. And not after the Kutchu Brichu. So there are two lines actually. Yeah, two lines. First of all, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein told Rav Shechter that when it says La al Enosh Rachitzna, V'la al Bar Elohim Samichna, that means that I don't trust in Bar Elohim, in a son of God. I don't rely on a son of God. Implying there is a son of God. Right? So Rav Soloveitchik had some objection to that statement. So that's one reason. I mean, it's from the Zohar. You know, it's not like it was a strange thing to me that there were a lot of this isn't the only time that Rav Soloveitchik objected to a formulation that came from Rishonim or earlier. You know, like he didn't like Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. He didn't like saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shema. Well, the Briskers in general don't like saying it because the Gra held that whenever you're not allowed to be mafsik, that it's a hafsik. He didn't like it even when you don't have to be, when it's not about a hafsik. Someone's making a birch sanan, and you just don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema, because he thought saying, he had a problem with the formulation, that saying Baruch Hu is too personal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like describing that you know him and you don't really know him, some philosophical problem with it. The Torah quotes it from the Rush. You know, it comes from Rishonim. The other problem he had with it is to say, he thought it was a chutzpah to say, I know Avdu Dekutcha Baruch Hu, to claim that we're Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who do you think you are, that you're an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you could say you're an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right. So Shechter points Rav that. So he said he asked Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, isn't that the reason Rav didn't say it? He said he never heard of that one, that he had a problem with an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember when I was in yeshiva in Keren Biavne, on Purim, they were singing Ana Avdu Dekutcha Baruch Hu. I'm not going to sing it for you, but you know the tune, right? And they were singing it for a long time. And there was one guy who was somewhat inebriated, who was going around shaking everyone grabbing everyone by their shirt, saying, "Are you really an Eved Hashem? Are you really?" You know, like you had to really like contemplate. Oh my gosh, is this guy going to kill me? But someone else told me that they were by Rav Avram Shur. I think it was on Sukkot for Simchas Beis Hashoeva in Flatbush. And they were singing Ana Avdu Dekutcha Baruch Hu, and he stopped the singing and he said, "You really Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everyone take out your smartphones and give them to me. We're getting rid of all the smartphones if you're really Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Silence. no one moved. And he said, "Don't lie. At least say that you want to be Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that you're not actually Avadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So they changed the niggun to Ana Mishtadrum Lios of the Kutcha Baruch Hu. Yeah, so that's it's a mahalich. So the Mishnah Berurah has another ha'ara in Sivkat Nidalid, that there's another difference between Tefillah B'Lashon Kodesh and Tefillah in other Lashonos, that B'Lashon Kodesh you don't need to actually understand what you're saying. In other Lashonos, it's necessary to understand what you're saying. Meaning, even if Tefillah B'Shar Lashon works, but you have to understand. You can't. But be that as it may, at the end of the day, we pass on the halach in Shulchan Aruch that you're allowed to daven whatever language you want as long as you're davening with a minyan. You're davening b'tzibur, you're allowed to daven. So you want to be machmir for all the shittos? Good. So if you daven b'tzibur, a regular Shemoneh Esrei, you know, you're actually translating the Shemoneh Esrei as opposed to making up your own tefillah, so then you're allowed to daven in English, for sure. So maybe not Aramis, but you're allowed to daven in English, for sure. Even Aramis, probably the Rosh, we pointed out the Rosh would say you're allowed to do. So you're allowed to daven in English. So why does no one do it? I mean, why are we so discouraging of it? You know, I'm involved now recently in Galus. We're meeting a couple of more candidates this week. So one of the things that we check is that they should know how to daven. They should be able to read it in Hebrew. Well, why are we so makbid about that? Well, because we want them to be able to function as an Orthodox Jew. So we want to make sure that they can function within the Jewish community. So in order to, part of functioning is being able to daven. So we make them, you know, take out a siddur, read Ashrei to me, you know, make sure that they know what to they know how to daven. Why? Just let them read the English. Why do they have to know how to daven? So there are a few major objections to the idea of davening b'shar lashon, even though from the Gemara and the Rishonim, it's clear that you're allowed to daven in shar lashonos. So the three major objections are as follows. Mishaburu quotes from a Chassam Sofer, and this is on page 3 in Os Aleph. Mishaburu sim koval siv katnin gimel quotes from a Chassam Sofer. Shaherich bekama rayos, the mashi etiru spal bekalashon hen davka ba'akroi, avul kvoa bekvia tmidis ulhamit shatz ulashkiach lashon hakodesh legamri ze ef shar b'shemofen. He says this whole heter to davin b'shar lashon once in a while. You feel like you need to communicate in the language that you're most comfortable, or for whatever reason you're not feeling like you're going to be able to focus or understand in lashon hakodesh once in a while. But in any kavua sense, absolutely not. Why? You're going to be mashkiach loshna kodesh legamri. To hire a shliach zibur who's going to sing things in shar lashonos. And then he gets really into what was really motivating the Chassam Sofer, as one could have predicted. Va'un machnas kama v'kama taim nechuchem herichu kol go'one azman v'sefer divrei abris v'skimu she'isur gomor hu lasos kein. These are strong language. Isur gomer lasos came. Ulafuke mikitos chadashos shenispartzu michutz l'medina bazeh ve'etiku es kol nusach hatfil loshna amim ve'avera goreres avera shedilgo abracha shel kibbutz galios ubrichos yirushalayim ircha. So what's he describing? The reform. One of the first innovations is to change to not daven b'lashon hakodesh anymore. No one understands it anyway. And the next thing is no longer daven Yerushalayim Ircha. What do we need kibbutz galios for? What do we need? Hope for the Jewish future in Eretz Yisrael. There's no need for any of that anymore. Ukeshem sherotzim nashkiach zichron Yerushalayim kein rotzim nashkiach l'shon hakodesh miYisrael. Just like they want you to forget Yerushalayim, they want you to forget Lashon HaKodesh. Pen yigalu b'zchus shaloshinu es lashonam HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishmerenu mideos apikorsos ke'elu. He says, because they're afraid that we're going to be zocha to geula, and they know how we're zocha to geula. We're zocha to geula when we're mitzapa le geula. So stop being mitzapa, stop hoping for it, stop dying for Yerushalayim Mircha. And shaloshinu es lashonam. When we talk like Jews, we're zocha to geula. So stop talking like Jews. Stop davening in Lashon HaKodesh. So apparently the concern is that that even though Enoch and Mikra did its mutter, we can't allow it because of what it means in our society. The davening in Shar Lashonos means a nod to the reform movement. The Chassam Sofer writes that he writes even stronger lashon, I put in the footnote, but we'll leave that for now. A second objection. Mishmur quotes in the Bir Halacha, in the name of the Sefer Chassidim, that when we say you're allowed to daven b'chal lashon, haynu dafka imhu yirei shamayim, urutzono b'zeh hurakadei sheyispal b'kavana, avul meinu b'chei agav niyispal b'lashon HaKodesh. That only if you're a yirei shamayim and it's there to aid in your kavana. But otherwise, you don't have this heter. Why? Because lashon hakodesh yesh lo skulos rabos mikol lashonos v'u lashon shakodesh baruch hu medaber bo neviyav. Think about it. Why would you not speak in lashon hakodesh? There's so much meaning. You know, one of the things we fast for in Asar B'teves is the translation of the Torah. So terrible. Art school is such a horrible thing. Well, the translation of the Torah, what's so terrible about the translation of the Torah? What's terrible about translation of the Torah is that you, or one of the things that one element certainly is that by definition, in translation, you lose the depth. You lose any double meaning, any depth of poetry in the wording. You lose all that when you translate something. I see it even in Gemara. If you ever try to just read like an art scroll translation of the Gemara, you'll get the idea of what the Gemara is talking about. But the beauty of the prose, I mean, just the way the Gemara formulates things sometimes is very poetic. And you lose that, and certainly in Navi, and certainly in Tefillah, which is all poetic, and it's all using psukim and trying to be as poetic as possible. So you lose all that depth in any other language. So that's what's so terrible. So you're going to abandon Lashon HaKodesh? Chazal or Lashon HaKodesh, Nivra Olam, the world was created in Lashon HaKodesh. Anshei Knesset Gedolah specifically were Misaking Tefillah B'Lashon HaKodesh. So it doesn't make any sense for a person to not daven Lashon HaKodesh. So the second argument against abandoning Lashon HaKodesh and davening another Lashonos is not that it's usur, but that it's just ridiculous. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to sacrifice so much depth and meaning of your tefillah by choosing such a shallow way? It's like, you know, reading Shakespeare in Chinese. I can't imagine. I know they translate Shakespeare. It's required reading in many, many countries and in all sorts of different languages. But like, I can't imagine Shakespeare in Hebrew is as good as. I mean, I don't have much of an appreciation for Shakespeare, to tell you the truth. And I know he was a great storyteller. So the story, okay. So the story is still there. But the depth of the language, that's the beauty of the language, that's all gone once you're translating it. So, you know, Kal v'chomer ben benoshel Kal v'chomer, when you're dealing with Lashon HaKodesh, Shabbat Nivra Shemayim Va'aretz, it's not just Stam, you had a good writer. The whole language is infused with meaning and with depth. Oh no, but no, because even Lashon HaKodesh words have like, you know, this week Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichrono Livracha, passed away. Like, but one of his things that he really expressed to his Talmidim, apparently, I was not a Talmud, I heard him speak maybe once or twice, but one of the things that was how even just the definition of words in Lashon HaKodesh often are so deep, they mean so many different things. I mentioned the Daf Yomi Shir this morning as an example. Rav Naftali Yeager mentioned on Sunday in his Hesped from Moshe Shapiro that, you know, the word gadol and the word katan. So gadol is big, okay, gadol, katan is small. The word gadol is from good. You find in the Gemara a lot of times, good asik mechitza, good achas mechitza, which means you have a mechitza that's this big, but we view it as if it extends all the way up. It's only this, but we view it as if it extends all the way down. A guda dinahara, there's a riverbank where the river overflows beyond its normal boundaries. Gadol means someone who extends beyond what you would normally assume would be human capacity. Beyond what you would normally, there's a certain depth there. Katan is keta, to cut off, right? That's someone who falls short of what you would expect human potential to be. You say, like, even if you're formulating your own tefillos in Lashon HaKodesh, it still means more than formulating your own tefillos in other languages, because the depth of the language is just incredible. You know, the osios shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. You know, that's what Bezalel knew how to be mitzarev osios shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. Every os is kadosh. That's what Ramban writes in the Akdama to the Perush on Chumash, that even if you mix up all the letters of the Torah, the letters themselves have meaning. Just even if you don't break them up in words the way they're broken up in the Torah, I don't know what all that means necessarily, but it's there is that depth to the lashon. A third major objection that we find in poskim, and this is just a very practical objection. So the first objection we had is the reform, is that what's this saying about you? Second objection we had was that. That why would you? It's not that it's us, but why would you? Why would you leave Lashon HaKodesh when you could do it? Third objection is just very practically. The Tshuva Me'ava writes, he was a Talmud of Nodeb Yehuda. People already started traveling frequently in the times of the Tshuva Me'ava. You know, there were times in history where a person was born and died within like a mile of where he was born and never traveled beyond that point. But once people start traveling from one place to another, so you'll often find yourself in another country where people don't speak the same language as you. So one thing you know you could do, wherever you are, you go into an Orthodox shul, you could daven. Right? Okay, Nusach Svar, Nusach Ashkenaz, Svardi, there will be some differences from what you're used to, perhaps, but you could daven. And you'll have a basic idea of what's going on. If we allowed all the shuls to just, it's Bitzibur, so Bitzibur, you're allowed to do B'chal Lashon. So everyone's, you know, the shuls in America are gonna be in English. So someone's gonna come from France or from Italy or from Germany or whatever, they're not gonna have any idea what's going on. So on a practical level, it makes sense to have this, Davar HaShavu L'Chol Nefesh, something that everyone could connect to. It's like what Daf Yomi does for learning, Lashon HaKodesh does for davening. You know, that wherever you go, you know, you could find people learning that same thing.
Don't we see, though, that there's various different menhagim with all types of other practices from community?
Yeah, but, you know, davening is like a basic, you know, so most of the things you could do personally, but davening, you daven with the tzibur, you go daven with the minyan. So that's something that's done as a community. And then Poskim point out, those are three concerns that they have, even though it's mutter. Then Post can point out that there are a couple of other ha'aras to be familiar with. One is that there's a big discussion in Poskim, can you at least like throw in a line? You know, it used to be that when people were davening, if they'd get very into the tefillah, they would just scream out in the middle of a bracha, oh, Yehele Gerba Shefer, you know, like they just scream out, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam, something like that. You know, but they'll say it in whatever language. So is that a hefsek in the tefillah? And are you allowed to stick that in? So Menashe Klein has a tshuva where he thinks that that's mutter to do. And he writes, Hayotze Midvareinu, that it's not a hefsek, and even though you're not, the Gaonim say you're not supposed to do it, that's only for the Hamonam, but someone who's Kavana Ritzuya, and is doing, you shouldn't get angry, this is a minig of many people who are very, very great people, to Bnei Aliyah, to daven this way. However, Rav Moshe was very much against it. Rav Moshe writes, and it was Moshe Chel Gimel Simchas, he says it's a Dover Pashut, that it's a Hafsik, it's Aser, and he says not only in the middle of Brachos, even Ben Aprakim, even in Psuke de Zimra, it's a Hafsik, and instead, Mustavar Domer Mutter, Eno Keshogig Linyinza. He's addressing that Rav Shlomo Kluger in Halef L'Cha Shlomo, says that it's Omer Mutter and it's B'Shogig, so you wouldn't have to repeat your Tefillah if you do it. He says, I don't think it's a Shogig, because this isn't this doesn't have a status of a shogeg. The fact that you would have to repeat is not a knas, it's not a punishment. It's because you just didn't daven. Your davening was messed up. So you can't just throw other things in the middle of your tefillah. So that's our number one. That putting extra things in English in the middle of your tefillah, at least a machlokas aposkim, whether you're allowed to do that, even if the rest of your Shemoneh Esrei is going to be in Hebrew. Ha'ara number two, Rav Moshe writes in Rav Moshe Archaim Chelik Dalet Simen Ayin, that there was a rabbi that said that anyone who doesn't speak Lashon HaKodesh should just say their own tefillah. So Rav Moshe says, listen, even if you're going to rely on what it says in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, that B'tzibor, you're allowed to say your own tefillah, you have to make sure that it has the tzura of tefillah. You know, we start Shemoneh Esrei with Divrei Shevach, we have Bakashos in the middle, we end with Divrei Shevach. If you don't have the basic Tzura, Rav Moshe says, you're not Yotzei Tefillah D'Oraisa. So it's not okay to just say, say whatever you want. The Anshei Knesset HaGadol knew how to formulate a tefillah, not just that every single word they knew how to formulate perfectly, but on the most basic level, to know what a tefillah is supposed to look like, what the format of a tefillah is supposed to look like. If you don't approach it with the proper format, so that's certainly no good. So even if you want to rely on the Rif, B'tzibur, you're allowed to daven whatever language you want, but it's got to look like a tefillah. So that's the second ha'ara that the post can raise. And we'll close with the third one, that those things that are said b'chalasha, and I think we mentioned this before, is only if you actually speak that language, but not if you don't speak that language. Not only that, not just if you speak that language, it has to be in a place where most of the people that live there speak that language. Because, he says, unlike Bir Lacha writes, unlike Lashon HaKodesh, every other language is just a convention. It's just the way people agree to speak to each other. That's what makes it a language. Lashon HaKodesh is inherently a language. So you don't need to understand Lashon HaKodesh for it to be actual language. But if no one around you speaks some language that you made up, it's some code language that you made up with you and your four friends or whatever, that and no one around you speaks, that's not a language. It's not. It's just what people, how your small group has chosen to communicate. So essentially what we've done tonight is we pointed out a stira between two sugyas, whether you're allowed to daven in other languages other than Lashon HaKodesh, three shittos in Rishonim to be miyashev those sugyos. It all came out lahalacha lichora that you can daven in other languages bitzibur, and yet all the poskim are very much against it. So we gave three reasons why poskim are very much against it, and then three other ha'aras that should give one pause before trying to daven in any language other than Lashon HaKodesh.